wish all of you a blessed Chinese New Year. Well, I'll have more to say about that as we go on. For the information of all those who will be watching the slides, looking at the slides afterwards, I may go a bit fast because of the time factor, but do not worry if you miss any of them because the notes are on my website. Now, this morning, we shall be dealing with the subject of the Year of the Dragon. I started this series for those who are new here and who do not know or who have just come in lately. I started this series in 1983, and that will be 40 years ago. I started with the Year of the Pig, and last year it was the Year of the Rabbit, and today we go on to the Year of the Dragon. Right, now what can I say about the dragon, this Year of the Dragon? For those of you who are new, I have been speaking on this for the last 40 years, every year on the animal of that Chinese New Year. Right, because of time, I'm going a bit fast, so don't worry if you have no time to take down the notes, because they will be on my website. Now, the Year of the Dragon, according to the Chinese zodiac, would begin on February the 10th, that would be yesterday, and it will go on till January 28th, 2025. This consists of 12 animals, the Chinese zodiac, 12 animals. The last one was the pig. I started with the last one. The first one will be the rat, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, and the fifth one would be the dragon. The dragon is a creature of myth and legend. In ancient China, the celestial dragon represents an emperor and power. Today, it is the ultimate auspicious symbol signifying success and happiness. And many people, many Chinese today, believe in the Ong of the dragon. Very good year, an abundant year, a prosperous year. Now, we have got to look at this, because we are Christians, from the biblical viewpoint. What does the dragon have to say to all of us? If you are born in the year 28, 40, 52, 64, every period of 12 years, up to 212 and 224, then you are a dragon. I'm not going to ask you whether you are a dragon or not, because then I'll know your age, but never mind. Very quickly, the Year of the Dragon is regarded to be very good year, very benevolent, very prosperous. Now, this is what we always call the horoscope. Now, in my young days, many people would like to read the horoscope. And in every newspaper, more or less, you will find the horoscope for the day and what they entitled as what the stars foretell. Every newspaper almost would have this column. Now, sadly, many Christians also start their day by reading what the stars foretell instead of reading the Bible for guidance for the day. The Bible has something to say about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 14, there is this saying about horoscopes. Because there shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, a foretelling of times, events to come to pass. And that's why people are interested in reading what the stars foretell. What is my forecast for the day? Now, the Lord forbids such kind of activity. All right? So we are told all who do these things are abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Now, Christians should have nothing to do with them. Christians should read the Bible every day for God's guidance for the day. Right. The Chinese predict and believe that the year of the dragon is a good year, a year of prosperity and peace and benevolence, great leadership. Now, let us enter to see more about this year of the dragon. What does the Bible say? The Bible, on the other hand, prophesies the dragon to be a bad year. When the dragon is physically present, and I'll explain what it is later on, it's going to be a bad year because there is going to be a persecution which is unprecedented that will come upon the earth. By the way, what I'm going to say afterwards for this session may not agree with some of you here. I respect what you believe in. You respect me, what respect what I believe in. And this is what I believe in with regard to the scriptures. That what the scriptures say to me is this. The dragon, my study of the dragon, is basically based on Revelation chapter 12. And here we read from verses 7 and 8 that there was war in heaven, and the dragon, who he is, we shall find out later on, is cast up into the earth. And when he's cast into the earth, then he brings about great havoc and persecution unprecedented in history. Never before would there be such, was there such a persecution. Never later on would there be such a persecution. Never before, never after. That was the period when there will be the great persecution by the dragon. And so that was what would happen when he is cast physically from heaven. Yes, today he's not in heaven in the presence of God itself, but he is in the second heaven where he has access to God's presence to accuse the brethren day and night. But the time will come when he will be thrown out of heaven and he will be on earth. And so there will be, because there will be war in heaven, and he will be cast down, and a third of the angels will follow him. Now, this is the great period, which we shall call the great tribulation, when people on earth will suffer such tribulation that they have never, never suffered before or ever after. So, what are the things that we must learn in our approach to the year of the dragon? Firstly, let us start off with this outline. Beware of the deceptive dragon. The first thing we must know about this dragon is very deceptive. And that's why today many views have come out with regard to the dragon. And that's why I said earlier that some of you may not agree with what I say. And that's the very deceptiveness of the dragon. All right. Ephesians 6:11, we are told, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11, that you are not ignorant. You are not ignorant of the subtleties of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, that he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this is the deception. Now let's, for instance, start off with his name. He, in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word tanim. All right? And it could be a marine creature or a land monster. And even the New Testament translators of the Old Testament, they could not agree what this Hebrew word meant. And so you find, in the very first instance, the word dragon is already very deceptive. You cannot identify him by its own name. However, the Bible is very clear, because in the New Testament, there's only one, and it's the Greek word dragon. Only one. And it's found only in Revelation chapter 12 and 13, 16 and 20. And the significant thing about it is this wood dragon occurs 13 times. And those of you who study numerology will know that 13 is a number of rebellion. And that's where the rebellion takes place, by the dragon. So beware of the deceptive dragon. The first thing we know about the dragon is he's very deceptive. More about that as we go on. One, in one way is it deceptive? It is a mystery. We do not know what actually it is in the Old Testament. And that's why Old Testament translators have problem in trying to translate the word. Is a land monster or a marine creature? We do not know. We are not sure. All right. And therefore, the idea of what a dragon is, it's dependent upon the country. China has its own dragon. Japan has its own dragon, and so on. And the culture. The Chinese has its own the idea of the dragon, and so with the other dialect speaking the Chinese, with their different viewpoints. They have different viewpoints of China, of the dragon, as we shall see later on. Right, let's go back to the scriptures, because we are interested in what the Bible has to say about the dragon. It is a serpent-like monster or desert creature, we are not sure, depending on the version of the Old Testament. That's as far as the Old Testament is concerned. But as I pointed out, in the New Testament, the dragon is a figure, definitely is identified for us as Satan, no matter which version is used. And it occurs only in Revelation, as I said, 13 times. So what can we learn from here? The fear of superstition by certain groups today. Today, not today especially, but 12 years ago, in that year of the dragon, when the charismatic movement was very popular, was in its rise, what happened was, at that time, the dragon, because it was identified with the dragon was always regarded as devilish. As a result, anyone who has the picture of the dragon carved onto a pot, carved onto a picture, must burn, because it is evil. And so there was this movement, and Balmoral Hall also suffered from it when some of the young adults took up this idea that the dragon is evil, is satanic, it is the devilish itself, therefore nobody must have anything to do with the dragon. All pictures of dragons must be taken down to be burnt. You must not wear a t-shirt with a dragon. I'm not sure how they will behave today with the dragon on the angpao. So many angpaos. So those of you who are superstitious and who are afraid of the dragon on the angpao, take the angpao, burn it, give me the contents. I'm very happy. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 3 and 4, very clear, that we should not be afraid of the spirit that professes that Christ is not come in the flesh. That is Antichrist. We are conquerors. So we should not be afraid of such superstition. That's what they say. The dragon is devilish. The dragon is satanic. So a lot of rich people who became Christians, charismatic Christians, had to burn and throw away their antiques and so on with the picture of the dragon there. Those of you who were living at that time would agree with me with what I said, because that's what happened. And because of this, one group of people, young people from our family, broke away from us. We suffered from that movement. Now, let us therefore study more about this. The fact of scripture. The devil is known as the lion. All right, 1 Peter 5:8. That we should be wary of the lion who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is pictured as the lion. Should we therefore throw away all pictures of lions? Because we are also told that in the Lord Jesus Christ is also the Lion of Judah. So is a lion devilish? So on that kind of argument, we need to be very careful how we treat all these metaphors used. It is not only a mystery, it is a myth. That's how the devil would let us do. It was used, for example, of dragons. Its symbolism, we find that there are many types of dragons. We cannot identify one particular animal to be a dragon, but different animals are portrayed, different dragons are portrayed by different cults and groups and so on. In Egypt, you have the god Apepi, which was a serpent, you know, the world of darkness. In Europe, we have the dragon, symbolic of sin and paganism. And also, in the East, we have the Chinese dragon, symbol of prosperity and benevolence. All right. Chinese regard the dragon as I said, very beneficial, benevolent, and popular. Now, what is the shape of the dragon? What does the dragon look like? Again, it differs from culture to culture, country to country. The Chaldean or Babylonian dragon looks like this. A creature with four legs, a scaly body, and wings. Chinese and Japanese dragons, though regarded as powers of the air, are usually wingless, whereas the others had wings. The Chinese dragon has no wings. One, two. The biblical dragon, what does it look like? Well, it's described for us in Revelation 12, 3 and 9. It's a creature with seven heads. It's a creature with seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its head. Hard to imagine what it is actually, but it's all symbolic. Right. And the dragon is also used as a metaphor to describe people. For example, it is used to describe Pharaoh in Ezekiel 29:3. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon. For example, again, in chapter 32, verse 2, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale. Same Hebrew word for dragon, a monster. Isaiah 51, verse 9, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab, symbol for Egypt, and wounded the dragon? And so we find that the dragon is used of Pharaoh as a metaphor. The term itself, dragon, is also used of Satan. And that's why, as I said earlier, it was blacklisted and should not appear in the circumstances of the Christian's life. But we read that the term dragon is used of Satan. It is transliterated, dragon, and occurs 13 times, as I said, in Revelation chapter 12 and 16 and 20. All right, next, we look at the deadly dragon. We found just now how deceptive Satan the dragon is. Now we look at how deadly this satanic dragon is. Chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And at this point here, I invite you to look with me Revelation chapter 12, because we want to make a study of chapter 12 and see what we can learn from there. It is a deeper look into Revelation 12 and try to understand what it is. And again, many people may not agree with me, but I will argue out my points. All right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1-3, and we have the appearance of the dragon. Then we have the attacks by the dragon in verses 3-6. But let's look at the first section first, the appearance of the dragon. We are told that the dragon appeared because of the first wonder. The wonder was a woman who was dressed in dressed with the sun, had the moon at her feet, and 12 stars as a crown. All right, who could this woman be? It's a wonder. Wonder literally, as in some of your versions say, it's a sign, symbolic, not literal. Because some people would believe that this woman was Mary, and that would be the belief of the Roman Catholics. But we are told here that this woman was a wonder, a sign, symbolic. Symbolic of what? We suggest, or I suggest, that symbolic of Israel. Why? Because we find that Genesis 37, verse 9, that Joseph had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a moon, a sun, and 12 stars. And that would be his father, his mother, and with himself and his other 11 brothers. So that would point to Israel. And therefore, my suggestion of the woman in Revelation 12 is the woman. Although some people would believe to be Mary, giving birth to Jesus Christ, and or even to the church, whatever it is my strong belief that it would refer to the Jewish Israel. Then there's the child. This woman is ready to give birth to a child. And I believe, therefore, the child is none other than the Jewish Messiah. Matthew 2:2, we read that the wise men came and they asked, where is he that is king of the Jews? So a child will be born. But I'd like you to read further for the second wonder. Chapter 12, verses 3-6. Verse 3 of chapter 12, we read, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as he was born. Now, the child, the woman, as I suggested, was Israel, ready to give birth to the child, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that the dragon was ready to devour the child as soon as it would be born. Was the dragon successful? Let's see. So we see the attack on Israel in the past, in chapter 12 and verse 4. And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered. But now you look at verse 5, somehow there seemed to be a jump in time. What happened? The child did not, we don't read of the child growing up and then of his, what happened to him when he was grown up. We read the child, the woman brought forth the child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The child was at once signified as one who would rule the nations. There seemed to be a big jump from the child, from the time the child was born, to the time when the child would be big and would be the ruler of nations and so on. But in between his growth to be an adult, not mentioned at all. There seemed to be a jump in time, so to speak. Go on. The attack on the Messiah, and note the parenthesis in chapter 12, verse 5. Now, this verse is significant. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God, and there's no mention of his life. And suddenly, as we are told that this child is marked to be the ruler of nations in the to come, and when Jesus Christ was born, he did not become like that. There was a big jump to what he would become. And then we read in verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour. But we don't read about that, because the Lord Jesus Christ on earth grew up. So there must be sometime a time in the future, still having not happened yet. And this is what we can prove in verse 5. And she brought forth the child who was to rule all nations. Note the repetition, with a rod of iron from her child was caught up. Suddenly, there was no mention of the child going to the cross, no mention of the child dying, and the child was suddenly caught up and went to heaven. Now, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 1,260 days. Then suddenly we find that the child was caught up in heaven, and the woman was under the mercy of the dragon, and she fled, and God protected her for 1,260 days. Now, definitely, this did not happen on earth. We haven't seen it in the past history as yet. But could this 1,260 days be literal days or figurative days, symbolic days? Now, I believe, as I believe the scriptures, to interpret it literally as far as we can until we know and convinced that we are to interpret it spiritually, I would take 1,260 days as literal. And here is my proof. All right. So we find that the woman will be attacked, and God will shelter her for 1,260 days. Now, 1,260 days. Are they literal days or are they symbolic days? Right. Let's do a bit of study in mathematics. 1,260 days are mentioned in chapter 11, verse 3, and chapter 12, verse 6. And the very same period is described for us as 42 months in chapter 11, verse 2, and 13, 5. Now, how do we come to the 42 months, referring to the same period? We divide 1,260 by 30, that is 30 days in the month. In the Bible, a prophetic year, a prophetic month is 30 days. So 1,260 divided by 30 is 12, and the answer is 42 months. And we take the 42 months, we divide by 12, and we find another term in chapter 12, verse 14, time times and half a time. What is time times and half a time? Time is singular, times are plural, and half a time is half a time. So that is 3.5 years. And if you take 42 divided by 12, you get 3.5 years. So all these figures are literal. They are not symbolic. And therefore, we believe that there will come a time when Israel will come under great persecution for 1,260 days, when God will protect them as it is attacked by Israel. This would tie us up with Daniel chapter 9, with the vision that Daniel saw of the 70 weeks. And we have the 69 weeks already fulfilled literally in history. The 70th week is still yet to be fulfilled. And when the 70th week, we find the prince will come on, the Antichrist, and make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. Now, I have no time to go into the proof that the weeks are years. So we find that Israel will make peace, will make a covenant with the prince that will come for 7 years. But in the middle of the year, the prince will break that covenant. And we find that the prince, Israel, will then be persecuted and will be persecuted right through the end. Now, 7 years, in the midst of the week, will be half of 7 years. And half of 7 years is 3.5 years. 3.5 years is times, time, and a time. Times, time, and half a time is 1260 days, as we found out just now. And so we find that there will be a literal great tribulation to come in the years to come, when Israel will be persecuted. All right. So, behold the defeated dragon. The time will come when this dragon will be defeated. We see the excerpts on the dragon, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. I go fast now. The dragon will fight with Michael, the archangel, and then he will be cast out onto the earth. And when he is cast out onto the earth, he knows that his time is short. And when he knows his time is short, he will start persecuting God's people, Israel. In chapter 12, verse 7. Then we find in chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, the dragon would be defeated. And then these angels will be come down to earth. And that's where the persecution would start. Then we find in chapter 12, verse 9, the dragon and its deception identified. Chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, then the Satan who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels with him. And so we find the dragon, Satan, the devil, cast into the earth to do havoc with God's people, Israel. All right, we are finished with the assaults on the dragon. Now the accomplishments against the dragon. We find this battle with the dragon taking place. Chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. A song of the victory, apparently. The saints, the angels in heaven, won the battle, and there was a song of victory in chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before day and night. So that's the time when the great persecution will take place upon earth, on the children of Israel. What is the secret of the victory? Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame the blood of the Lamb and by the word of that testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Unto death. Now, the testimony would be tremendous. They were prepared to give their lives. There would be a lot of martyrs. During that period, a lot of people would die. The children, I'm referring to the children of Israel. I'm not referring to the Christians. Where are the Christians? from a context of study on Revelation chapter 4 to chapter 19, we never find the word church occurs even once. Church had gone into heaven in chapter 4, and then is in heaven from chapter 4 to chapter 19. That's why we read in Revelation 2 these constant words: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," in chapters 1 to 3. What the Spirit saith unto the churches, 1 to 3. And yet in the middle of the Revelation we read, "He that heareth, let him hear what the Spirit saith," no more unto the churches. No more. Why? Simple. The churches are no more on earth, the churches are in heaven. And so we find the great difference in that phrase: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith," no more unto the churches. And only in chapter 19, we see the bride appearing again. And so we come to the conclusion: chapter 4 to chapter 19, the church is not there. Who is there? Who are there? Israel. God's people. God will punish Israel for what they did to his son. All right. So the secret of victory, 12:11, we find, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the end." They will be prepared to die. All right, let's go on. Chapter 12, verse 12, the summary of the victory. All right, we'll just leave it there because it's not that important here. All right. The aggression of the great tribulation from the dragon. Let's see what happens during the time of the great tribulation, the 1260 days when God protected Israel. The great persecutor will be none other than the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan himself. That is identified for us in chapter 12, verse 9, 13, and chapter 12, verse 9. Then we have the great persecution, the great tribulation taking place, persecuted the woman to be carried away by the flood. Now, it's very interesting to note that here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the flood is introduced. That the woman will be persecuted to be carried away by the flood. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 15. And in Daniel chapter 9, the vision that Daniel saw, we find that the prince shall attack the people of God by as a flood. The word flood is mentioned in chapter 9, verse 26 of Daniel. The flood is mentioned again in chapter 12 of Revelation, verses 13 to 15. And we find that God will protect Israel from the flood for 1260 days, chapter 12, verse 16. The flood seems to be very important. What is the flood? I don't know. Is the flood literally flood of waters? I don't know. Is the flood of propaganda? I don't know. But this I can make a guess. It can be the flood of water, that because today we see what is going on in Israel. We can never imagine the battle between Israel and the other countries by the use of the flood. They use the flood to flood the tunnels that the Hamas terrorists had constructed. Why suddenly the flood mentioned in all these prophetic passages? "The enemy shall come like the flood," Isaiah 59:19. I don't want to make a big feature out of these prophecies, but as I study the year of the dragon lately in my study, this word struck me more than ever: flood, flood, flood. And as I read the current affairs of what is going on, in the Middle East, flooding the tunnels. Today, Israel used the flood to fight their enemies. The day may come when the enemy can use the flood to fight Israel. And God will then protect them as they come under the flooding for 1, 2, 6 whole days. Literally. All right. So, as I said, this is for God's people. This experience, the church is not there. The church is already up in heaven. And then, but we read in chapter 12, verse 17, that there will be those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The 144,000 witnesses go around to preach about the Messiah. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ, but they may not have Jesus Christ in their hearts. Because only those people who have Jesus Christ in their hearts will be taken up into heaven, raptured into heaven to be with Him forevermore. All right, that's a very interesting feature that I found out about the flood. And it's interesting today, the flood plays a very important role in the conflict between Israel and Hamas and the Middle East nations today. If you are not going to take Israel literally, then note please, all the other civilizations in the past have faded away. Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Roman Empire, all have faded away. But Israel remains true to today. All right, then in chapter 13, we come to two assistants. We have the first beast coming out, that will be Antichrist. Now, he will promote this kind of doctrine about Satan and about the dragon when he comes. This would be the Satan's assistant. There will be a second assistant, the second beast, found in chapter 13, verse 11, and we see this second beast busy in the economic world. And all those who do business will have the number 666 and so on. And we see this coming on today in our lifetime, where everything has to be dealt with numbers. Numbers. Now, we can never imagine that when I was a child, that would be 80 years ago, I could never imagine that things would be dealt with by numbers. But today, without the numbers, you cannot do anything. Without the numbers, you can go to the bank. Without the numbers, you cannot even buy anything. Today, yesterday, I was taught how to operate my phone by using fingerprints. Now, today, I mean, years ago, I would not understand what it'd be to have the number 666 printed and in your hand or in your palm. But today, we find it's practical. Are we seeing all these things coming to pass in a literal way, in a physical way? This is the challenge of the year of the dragon to all of us. The second person to come in would be the false prophet. There will be the Antichrist, the first beast, and then the second beast, the false prophet, who will promote that economy in the world for people to worship the beast. All right, so the achieved end, the dragon in the dungeon. In the end of it all, would God allow the dragon to prevail? No. The Lord will come. And when He will come, then He will save His people, who will be under His protection for 1, 2, 6 whole days. And the battle of Armageddon will take place, and we find Jesus will come with His saints to defeat Satan, the dragon, and his enemies. And so, the dragon and his assistants in chapter 19, verse 20, will be thrown into the lake of fire, that's hell. Perhaps I would like to read chapter 19 and verse 20. chapter 19 and verse 20, which is quite an important verse. Chapter 19, verse 20, and it reads, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." The lake of fire will be the destiny of all those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when they are judged at the great white throne. But the first occupant of the lake of fire burning with fire is none other than the first beast and the second beast. The lake of fire, in another word, is hell. So they were the first occupants in hell. So today, if people ask you, go to hell, no problem. You find me hell, because hell is not there. Go to hell, because the first occupants of hell would be the first beast and the second beast. And they will be there later on. We find in chapter 20, that verse 10, chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that's a sentence. And they will be imprisoned for 1,000 years. Chapter 20, verse 2. And they will be there, and they will not be free for 1,000 years and for eternity. After that, after 1,000 years, Satan will be free for his final battle with the saints. He will lose that battle, and then he and all those who follow him will be cast into the lake of fire, where there will be a sentence that is imperishable for 20 years, for eternity. So we finish now. What are we to learn from here? What are we to learn? Be sober. The devouring lion is alive and is active, moving about seeking to devour whom he seeks to deceive. His appointed time is short. His authority can now be felt as we see all these developments taking place that I mentioned. His assistants are in place. The first false prophet, the Antichrist, all are there. He is about to flood the earth with all the circumstances that we see prevailing today. And the advanced technology is there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Knowledge will increase. And today we see all these things happening in our time. Are we ready? Are we ready? The advice to us all: wake up, watch and pray. Be wise to the ways and to the will of the Lord. Walk in wisdom. Walk in all things. The word you must read and need to obey. The time is at hand. So wake up, walk in wisdom, be wise to the ways of the world, read the word of God, do God's will, and be watchful for Christ coming in the year of the dragon. We not know. It may come anytime. Take this opportunity to wish all of you, in spite of everything else, a blessed and fruitful Chinese New Year to all our Chinese saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou hast not left us ignorant, that we should be lost with the wiles of the devil. Help us, O Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, to be ready when the time comes, when all these things taking place, But we look out, but at the moment, we are looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, and he will take us back to be with himself forevermore. We ask these things, Lord, giving thee thanks, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.